Our first reading is from Isaiah 2, 4 through 5 from the Common English Bible. God will judge between the nations and settle disputes of mighty nations. They will beat their swords into iron plows and their spears into pruning tools. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. Come, house of Jacob, let's walk by the Lord's light. The second reading is from Romans 13, verses 11 through 14 from the Message. Make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all of your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, and in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed. Get dressed. Don't loiter or linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So happy Sunday after Thanksgiving. Everybody have a great weekend so far? Yeah, very good. I know that a lot of us have been, enjoying that turkey, enjoying those parades, that football. Whether you are here in Harrisonville, whether you traveled all the way to New York City for the Macy's Day Parade, which was awesome, I'm hoping that everybody celebrated well. And for all of you that went out to the fray of Black Friday, I am thankful to see you all here today, that you survived. See, the holidays have been a special time for me, especially. Tammy and I have had a great weekend. It all began for me early Thanksgiving Thursday morning when I drove down to Springfield, which is about two and a half hours, you know, depending on whether you engage warp drive or not. And as I was going, because that's a significant length of time with me, I had to have music. And so it's Thanksgiving, and I have a rule. No Christmas until after Thanksgiving. I am quite the truth. There you go. Well, I'm glad you all clapped for that, because I broke my rule. Yes, I had no choice. And so, Shelton, 5 pounds of Christmas CDs. Everything from Frank Sinatra and Mel Torme to the Chieftains Amy Mann and Billy Squire and Kate Bush and the Canadian Brass. They're all in here, and then some. And yes, it was a beautiful, beautiful trip. But you know, Thanksgiving is kind of in the past right now. And now, after eating all that turkey, after celebrating, aren't you feeling a little tired? A little worn out? I talked to a few of you. You're kind of weary. It's been crazy. It's been good, but it's been crazy. A little sleepy. Well, wake up! Because this is the first Sunday of Advent, as Kip has shared with us earlier. This is the first day of adventure. This is the day when we look forward to the coming of Jesus into this world. We look forward with anticipation, exactly. And we're looking forward to Jesus in a memory, as the Christmas quartet sang, Mary had a little boy, baby boy, and we look back in that memory, and that's a Christmas memory as we celebrate the birth of Jesus thousands of years ago. But we also look forward to the day when Jesus is going to come again, right? The day when this world is going to be transformed, and the prophecy of Isaiah comes to pass, where war will be no more. This is Advent, and this is a perfect time to be celebrating that wonderful, powerful feeling of joy So, here's a joyful thing for us to do. Trivia question. Are you ready? Now, I know how some of you like to answer these questions, so I'm going to phrase this question carefully. Besides Jesus, what else connects 18th century pastor Isaac Watts and 18th century English-German composer George Handel and 19th century worship leader Lowell Powell? Thank you, Joy to the World. Kind of a given, right? Because it's, you know, it's the title of our series. Yeah, Joy to the World. Exactly, Joy to the World. It was in 1719 when Isaac Watts wrote those wonderful words that we know as Joy to the World. The same guy who did Wondrous Cross and Our God Who's Help in Ages Past. He was the one that crafted those words. And then a little over 100 years later, Lowell Powell, the guy who put together the tune to Near My God to Thee and Mary Had a Little Lamb, well, he's the one that came up with the tune, this wonderful tune called Antioch that goes with Joy to the World. And this guy, he was inspired by Handel, especially his oratorio Messiah, when he wrote Joy to the World. In fact, there's a piece of that. If you listen closely, you'll hear these tones. Boom, boom, ba-dum. I don't think they would have any copyright issues today, just saying. But that's how Joy to the World came to be. Isn't that great? It wasn't just one creative person. It was three that somehow were inspired, but God was behind it all. And we are celebrating the 303rd birthday, technically, of Joy to the World. Because we are celebrating joy. And the reason why is because joy is not just some shallow emotion that we experience and then we're done with it. Joy is so much more. Joy has so many dimensions, so much depth. For you see, joy isn't just encountered when we are surrounded by happiness. We can encounter joy in the midst of suffering. We can encounter joy in the works of justice. We can encounter joy in the presence of compassion. Suffering, justice, compassion. Sounds like the world that Jesus came into. Sounds like the world that Jesus is going to come into. And so we're going to be exploring this thing called joy. Even though this is Hope Sunday, we're going to be exploring joy, and we're going to be exploring how joy connects with hope and allows us to see new perspectives so that we too can encounter joy no matter where we are, no matter in what situation that we are in. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. This is a joy that Isaiah knew. This is a joy that Paul knew. But it's also the joy that Isaac Watts knew. Do you think that when Isaac Watts wrote the lyrics to Joy to the World that it came out of thin air? It didn't. They were inspired. Inspired by what, I hear you asking? By a psalm of David, this psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the houses of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Can I hear an amen? Could you hear the joy? This was the joy that inspired David, God's joy, to write this psalm. And it's through this psalm that God worked through Isaac Watts that just filled him with hope so that he wrote Joy to the World. And this is where Isaac Watts was especially inspired to say, that heaven and nature sing. Can you hear that? Heaven and nature sing. There are so many scriptures in our Bible that show God's glory through the way that from the heavens above and through the glories of nature that God has created. That's because the natural world can provide so many beautiful metaphors for us and for our spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. Our natural world can give us a new perspective on what it means to encounter God. So let's take a look at a metaphor in the natural world. Thank you. Now this is a picture of a place I would love to be. I love hiking. How many of you love hiking? I love getting out in the forest. I don't do it enough, but I love to be out there in God's beautiful nature. But you know, there's so much there that is more than we know. There's something going on underneath all that. Something that brings life to this forest. Let's go to that next picture. Yeah, this. Isn't it beautiful? Take a look at that picture. You see three things in that picture. You see the roots of a tree or a plant that are going down. You see other roots from fungi that are surrounding those trees that are reaching up, that are colonizing those roots. This is called mycorrhiza. This is the third thing that we see in the picture. It's not the fungi. It's not the tree or plant. It is the relationship. It is relationship. Let's go on to the next picture. I love this picture. For you see, mycorrhiza is what allows for a healthy ecosystem. You see the roots of the tree. You see barely there the roots of the mushroom there, the fungi. But they connect together. I love the heart that's part of this image. You see, through the sunlight that the leaves process through photosynthesis, well, the tree or the plant produces some sugars, which are then passed along to the fungi. And what does the fungi do? The fungi provides water and nutrients from the soil for the tree or plant. It's not just a tree. It's not just regular plants. It's wheat. There are different ways that this relationship works out. But here's the wonderful thing. This is a relationship, symbiotic relationship, working for the mutual benefit of both the plant and the fungi. It has been around since plants have been around, this process. This is part of the miracle of God in nature. We don't even know it exists when we walk in the woods, but all around us this is going on to not only sustain the ecosystem, but to nurture it. Guess what? You can go on, guys. The same can be said of joy. Joy is all around us, whether we know it or not, whether we experience it or not. We can be in the deepest depths of our doldrums, and still joy is there. That's because we are here, we are around, because joy helps sustain us in our life, in our relationship. And joy also nurtures us. You see, joy is a relationship that we have with God. And it is one that allows us to experience hope. It's that joy that we get through God's grace that's poured out for all of us. Isaac Watts knew this joy. Isaiah knew this joy. He proclaimed it, didn't he? He proclaimed this joy as hope. And he wasn't naive, this prophet that proclaimed hope. His world was a lot different than our world today, obviously. He didn't have Ukraine fighting back against Russia. He didn't suffer mass shootings in a Walmart in Virginia. His world didn't have, well, maybe they probably did. I was about to say something about the midterm elections and the negativity and the vitriol that was there. But his own world was filled with fear and turmoil. His kingdom that he was a prophet to, Judah, was constantly under fear that they were going to be invaded. The people and the leaders of Judah were proving to be faithless and to care only for themselves. And Isaiah, if you read the first chapter, he would tell you about all that. And you would end that first chapter and go, And you would make connections with our world today, and you would go, And you would say, where is the joy? And then comes chapter 2. And in chapter 2, Isaiah says, but. And he gives a vision of the world as it will be. And this is a vision that is repeated also in Micah later. A vision that says, God will judge between the nations and settle disputes of mighty nations. Then they will beat their swords, their instruments of warfare, into iron plows and their spears into pruning tools. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. What a wonderful vision of hope. And underneath that hope is joy. Because how could Isaiah even said these words without the joy of God on his heart? Paul knew this joy. The Apostle Paul, hundreds of years later, when he's starting churches and he's traveling around the known world for him, and Paul experienced joy in the midst of conflict because that guy was always getting into it. He not only got into it with the Roman authorities, because this were the days of the empire, he not only got into conflict with the religious authorities of the temple and the synagogue, the people from which he came, but he also got into conflict with the very people that he reached for Jesus and that he was trying to share the message of salvation with. You might say his personality was a little prickly. But yet in the midst of that, Paul could always preach hopeful joy. He was joyful even in prison. How crazy is that? And so not only does Paul experience this joyful hope, this hopeful joy, but Paul encourages all believers to do. And what does he tell them to do in Rome? Wake up! Oh, I'm so mindful of how ironic this conversation is these days. When we hear all these bad things about being woke. Somehow, being woke has got this negative baggage. It's a bad word. And it's attached to, I don't know, political correctness and then some. And I read all the time, oh, so-and-so's woke and woke. And I keep thinking, but the opposite of that is asleep in our faith. Freed of any baggage, we are supposed to be woke people. Maybe not in the same way that's in the common parlance of our times. But that's what we're called to be. That's what Paul is saying here. Wake up. You know why? Because how else can we prepare him room? How else can we prepare God room in our hearts if we are pushing back on everything that's around us? You see, Paul says we need to wake up and we need to put on Christ. And we prepare him room by putting on Christ and then looking out into the world with Christ's eyes and with Christ's heart. And to reach out to others in loving relationship and to see the world through their eyes so that we can better understand. See, here's the thing about being a believer of Jesus. It's not about us, and yet it's all about us. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because we are for God. And we are to reach out to others in God's love. And to share that joy. And to share that hope. So we're about to get mycorrhizetic. Are you about to get mycorrhizetic? That's a new word for me. I think I just made it up. So here's what I would like you to do as your homework. What I'd like for you to do is, when you are in the world this week, like when you go to lunch today, or, you know, when you go into work tomorrow, whatever, all this week, I want you to be wide and awake to your relationships, the ones you have and the ones that you will build during this season. And I want you to be mindful, I want you to be awake to the words that you share with others. What are you going to say to the other people in your circle of life, your sphere of life around you? Are you going to be lifting them up? Are you going to share hopeful joy with them? Or are you going to be beating them down? What about the words you speak? And I also want you to be wide awake and mindful of what you hear. Are you open to the joy that people are sending you or speaking to you? Or are you letting it bounce off you like your Teflon? No. I'm not going to let hope in my heart. I'm not going to be joyful. Open your heart. Be awake. Listen. Listen to the love that people shower you with. And be blessed. Be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Because this is how God works. Through this mycorrhizic relationship. This mycorrhiza that is underneath but then provides a wood wide web of communication to our hearts, all of us. I invite you to do that as your homework. And, you know, man, I would love to talk to you about what you're experiencing. I'll share with you a little bit next week, but I hope that you can do that. So many times I feel like I'm giving you homework, and then you kind of go out and it's like, well, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. So I'm going to spot check you. But, you know, in order to back this up, we're going to engage in a little prophetic sign action. Are you ready? I'm going to invite my friend Amy to come forward. In each section, I have co-conspirators of joy, hopeful joy. And here's what we are going to do. We are going to get my crazy. We're going to get crazy. So what Amy is going to do is she's going to take a hold of that end. That she'll hold on to that. And then she's going to go back and she's going to take the back chairs in the prayer chapel in this section over here. And this is going to get passed. Amy's not going to pass it. She's going to give this ball of yarn to somebody else. Somebody else is going to hold on to it. And then they're going to pass it to somebody else. And somebody else is going to hold on to it. And we are spinning a web. No one lets go of the web. Now, here's the awesome thing that I'd like for you to do. After everybody in the section has been connected, then we're going to cross the streams. And so we're going to cross over, and we are going to create a sanctuary-wide web of joy. Are you ready? Are you understanding? I will go around and make sure you hold on to this. So go ahead. Amy, you go back there, and you get it started. And my co-conspirators, may you get it started. You'll be over here, Alice. Yeah. You can start in the back, the front, I don't care. And Carrie, you go to it. You get up and share with people and pass it. Oh, you've already got it. Okay. See, now Carrie is showing the low-impact way. She stays seated. And that's awesome. That's awesome. That's what you can do. However, some of you back here. Now, I know some of you are going, well, why can't we toss this? You can, but please don't bop people in the head. Can you tell I've done this before? I know how crazy things can get. Now, by the way, you keep holding on. Keep holding on. So, guys back here, the last person with the yarn needs to come up to Karen back here. Hi, Karen. Friends, our new office administrator is here. Yeah. Ooh. Could we have enough? We'll see. We'll pass it to Jerry. Then you can bring it up to me. Or actually, you could pass it on to these guys. Hey, guys, we still need some passing over here. Okay, now remember, then you start to pass it across the way. Here, allow me to be the mycorrhizitic. Here you go, Betty, I'll help you. Oh, look at this. Gordon, I know you're waiting with anticipation. This is Advent and yarn. Danger, Will Robinson. Okay. Okay. Oh, you have another long one? Okay, well, then you hold on to this one. Okay, let's see how we do this. Yeah, we might go over here. Oops, sorry. You guys got one over here? Oh, okay. Well, allow me to drape this with joy. Okay, guys. The quartet even gets more. Take some and pass it on. Take some and pass it on. All right, if people have you gotten it all done? Then I invite you as you're able to stand. Those of you at home, you can do this too. Stand. Lift high your web. Now here's the thing. This is how joy should be shared. The joy you share with another person gets passed on to another and to another and to another. And this is how we spread the love of Jesus, through joy and through hope. This is your homework for the time to come. Because we have a God who loves us, who gave us the gift of Jesus, born of a woman, our Savior. And the least we can do is remember the joy of that birth and the hope of that return. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.